All right, good afternoon, everybody. We are live on the road, and so that's why we're coming to you a few minutes late. We got here on time. We just had some technical things to work out. Malzie's eardrums have exploded, so if you call in and scream at him today, he still might not be able to hear you as we navigate through that. Did you hear Smith there, or do we need to play it back, Malzie?
Beg your pardon?
Can you even hear Smith, or do you want to just have me read quotes from you, or how do you want to do
it?
Do I need to hand you the quotes here from Arthur Smith?
Sign the show for me?
I don't know sign language. Do you?
No, I can think of a few gestures I might be making right now, but no, I don't. I'm good, Pony. Let's get after it here. I think my ears stopped ringing.
Did your ears like explode? What happened?
I'll just take people behind the curtain. We were trying to get our headsets to work in here. Something was turned off that wasn't supposed to be. We got it turned on, and when you apparently toggled the volume,
it was on full blast.
Loudest noise I've ever heard in my life happening.
Do you think you'll have long-term hearing loss from it?
Well, yeah, you'll know if you get called by a lawyer.
How would that be my fault?
You're the one who turned it on. You flipped the switch.
Get out of here. You're actually going to blame me for this?
I mean, no. I'm going to find out who was in here before us and blame them.
Thank you. I was going to say, I'm trying to get the show on the air here. I'm not trying to hurt you. Arthur Smith there on the viral chart of Justin Fields that everyone has seen who has a social media account and cares about the Steelers, of him not throwing between the hashes, and that brought back flashbacks, acid flashbacks, bad memories of the Matt Canada offense with Kenny Pickett. And Arthur Smith saying it was because they had a great safety. That's why it didn't happen. Denver does not have a great safety. Their best safety actually played for Atlanta last week. So are we to believe that this was a one-time thing? Or do you think that this is actually still a tenet of the Mike Tomlin offense, that as long as he is in charge and he doesn't trust his quarterback, we shouldn't expect more throws to the middle of the field? Just your quick thought on that to start.
Jesse Bates is a nice player. Justin Simmons is one of the most underrated players at safety in the league when he was with the Broncos, playing and toiling in relative anonymity. Neither one of them is Ed Reed or Troy Polamalu. But because they are both good players, I think this was a convenient excuse made by Arthur Smith to sidestep the fact that the way Justin Fields played is a way Mike Tomlin would like him to continue playing for as long as this team is seeing subpar opposition, which the Falcons turned out to be, and frankly, on paper, the Broncos offense should be. Mike Tomlin is way more comfortable winning football games the way they beat Atlanta than Steelers fans are, you know, comfortable watching the team play. The head coach is fine with this. The head coach thinks as long as TJ Watt's healthy, as long as Minka's healthy, I'm probably going to have a pretty good batting average in those situations. He's probably right. But again, doesn't make us comfortable watching it because it looks so futile. You also can't get away with it long term. And I guess that's where my real problem comes in here, Pony.
But Arthur Smith is saying it's not a long term thing.
I don't think they're going to throw to the middle of the field against the Broncos. And then you know what it's going to be? If they get an early lead and they don't throw to the middle of the field, it'll be, we were on the road. It's a hostile environment. Those fans yell incomplete. It's very intimidating. It's at altitude. That guy who used to wear the barrel died, but there's probably somebody else wearing the barrel with the straps. They will find excuses.
They inherited a dead guy's barrel and started wearing it naked?
Well, don't you think somebody else probably took up the barrel mantle there?
I think that guy's like in the Broncos Hall of Fame and they just have barrel in
a
special place.
How would he go to the bathroom with the barrel on?
I think it's like a guy from the red zone where you don't drink all day so you don't ever have to go. Like Scott Hansen, he doesn't drink during red zone.
No, he drinks like water a couple hours beforehand and then that feeds his bladder. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think that they're going to find reasons for this not to happen for several weeks. And I just think that eventually you're going to need to throw to the middle of the field. I'm not sure that they're helping themselves out in the long term by basically keeping it off limits.
So if your theory's right, issues we had with Matt Canada is actually a Mike Tomlin problem and not a Matt Canada problem. If you're right. If the middle of the field is an allergy that carries over into this year and it's not just a one-game thing, then we've removed one of the variables. We changed offensive coordinators. There's only one constant, and that's the head coach. The quarterback's not even the same. So if it doesn't change, then I'm going to say it's more about Tomlin's edict than it was about Matt Canada's incompetence. We don't know Arthur Smith that well yet. I do think it's a coincidence. I'm going to actually side with coincidence here because I think he's inflated Bates. I think we have a case of a guy who's inflated the
most famous Bates since Norman.
Yeah, because he coached him last year. If it was just a random opponent and it wasn't someone that Arthur Smith.
So you expect Justin Fields to take a shot or two down the field and
yes, I do.
In the middle of the field?
Yes, I don't. Matt Canada did not know how to relate to the media. I think that made things even harder for him. He gave short answers. I think he was afraid that anything he said was going to get taken in either out of context in his mind or exaggerated, whatever. And he just was very prickly with the media because he did not trust the media. I think Arthur Smith has a clean slate here.
His dad's also a billionaire. He doesn't really care if he makes somebody
put
mad.
Put Zinn in as he does these interviews now.
Having Zinn fall out.
He's
made a huge fan out of the entire Fan Morning Show.
Because they use Zinn the entire show.
Those guys,
I don't even know if I'm allowed to say that,
Zinn.
But I just did. So I don't mind Zinn, but I just can't have high potency Zinn.
What is Zinn? I don't even do
Donnie,
it.
Donnie, can you explain Zinn to Mueller?
It's just, I don't know if I would say cleaner version. It is like, but it is a cleaner version than like Chew.
So it's like unleaded gasoline.
So you're getting the nicotine, but you don't have to spit. You don't have to dip.
Yeah, it's not like the nasty color. You don't have to spit every 3 seconds. You don't have to have a cup next to you every waking moment.
I think that's a decent explanation.
You just tuck that bad boy in and get that chemical high.
Yeah. But they have different levels of it.
Oh.
And so I can
do a load. So one's like the Jesse Bates Zinn, and then the next one could be like the Ed Reed Zinn, and then maybe somewhere in there the Ronnie Lott.
Ronnie Lott Zinn, yeah. So sometimes I notice that like those guys in the mornings do like big ones, and I know if I have one, I'm going to get very lightheaded. So I have no idea what number Smith is on. But I think Bates was a Pro Bowler last year and was an All-Pro with him. And I do think. See, I actually look at this as a positive, and here's why. I think he's tailoring his game plans to who they're playing. And I think if he had a better offense, he might think, well, it's the other way around. We're going to do what we do, and we're going to force the defense to react to what we do.
But you think this is positively Belichickian, where they would run the ball 50 times 1 week, and then if they were playing the Steelers, we knew what they were going to do, which is throw it 70 times.
Yeah. So for this week, I hate to... And it got brought up, and Smith didn't sidestep it, but didn't really give like a great direct answer. Mm-hmm. Denver is one of the best corners in the entire NFL. I think they're going to put that player on George Pickens. There's a chance George Pickens is less involved in this game, and therefore somebody like Pat Freiermuth, who makes his living over the middle of the field, has a bigger role because the safeties in Denver are not great. The linebackers are not all pros. Their slot corner is not someone that is going to be at a matchup advantage against Freiermuth. So I am willing to give him the benefit of the doubt on this. I won't lie to you. I mean, after my eyes told me that Fields played a good game against Atlanta, played a solid game. But when that chart came out from Next Gen Stats after the game, it was jarring to see that you could drive like a tractor trailer, you could like have a stampede of wild elephants run through the space in which Fields never threw the ball. Because it makes us think of what the issues were, the problems were with their offense last year. And if we weren't so scarred by Canada and the allusion to throwing the decision.
Aversion,
thank you, to never throw. I had a Austin Bechtold moment there. The aversion to never throw the ball over the middle of the field, then... Like, if that was a Roethlisberger game from 5 years ago, it would have been like, all right, Ben wanted to take shots to the outside. Let's move on to the next week. Like, no harm, no foul. But we're living in a world where we watch this team. And they didn't score any touchdowns, too, Chris. That's the other part of it, right? I mean, if they score 30 points and there's no throws to the middle of the field, what do we say about it? Who gives a bleep?
Well, you say they did a phenomenal job throwing outside the numbers. The entire thesis of the Roethlisberger would have gotten the benefit of the doubt. You can't be a good offense. It's just really hard when you nullify before you even make the other team nullify it. You just refuse to use part of the field. Jackson in Baltimore, if he became better outside the numbers, the way he is generally a very good passer inside the numbers and in the hash marks, it's kind of funny. he's so good at an area where it's so congested. But if he ever got like elite at throwing outside the numbers, he would be very, very, very hard to stop.
Whatever situation they walk into, you look at a lot of the great players. You don't put everything on their shoulders early on. Usually those guys become second contracts. You better be winning because of the guy because he's taking most of your cap. And so a lot of it is the reps added up. He's got good experience from his time in Chicago. You some of these rookies, he's barely older than some of these rookies that are playing right now or that got drafted high. And those reps matter, and those are the things that build confidence. You build off winning, and there's always things we got to work on. I was happy. You know, we talk about growth and, excuse me, almost my zen almost came out. But handling the situation, that's what the great players do. And so that was a step in the right direction.
I think I heard the chuckle of Mark Cabali.
Oh, no, I thought that was comment. DeFabo.
And a DeFabo, I heard both.
DeFabo's very distinct.
I think DeFabo started it, and Cabali finished it. The first to respond was DeFabo, I agree. But then I heard the guttural giggle.
I don't think Cabali actually does that stuff, does he?
No, he does. He's straight-laced.
He's pretty close to, like, he's a teetotaler.
Man's got no vices besides chronically complaining about things.
Is that a vice or just a character trait?
Yeah, more of a character trait, I guess. That is an interesting answer from Arthur Smith because it makes it sound, he's making it sound there without really needing to, like he feels that Justin Fields was done a disservice by the Bears. And that's very similar to how the Steelers made the Mitch Trubisky pickup sound, or at least their fans did. I don't know if the organization was as verbose about it. I don't remember them being as verbose about it. But talking about getting rushed in there and those guys tend not to get second contracts, said Arthur Smith, thinking of probably the three best quarterbacks of the last 20 years, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, and Tom Brady, and zero of them played in year one.
Mahomes played one game.
One game at the very end.
He played the meaningless game for them.
Yeah.
To get his feet wet.
And it got Smith so excited that the zin popped out. I heard Hathorn when I was driving in here with Joe, and Jeff listened to all of Smith. And from hearing Arthur Smith, we don't know what's going on yet at practice. No one has leaked out the information yet. Mm-hmm. But Jeff got the distinct impression from just listening to Artie Smith that Fields is going to start against the Broncos and it's an open shut case. That the complimentary language, some other answers to questions about what Fields brings to the table and what he did and the benefit of practice before a game, mm-hmm. all of that led Jeff in his hawk senses, his hawk-like mind. Are hawks smart animals, by the way?
They're fast.
Yeah, so that's not the best analogy.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
as far as birds go, parrots are very smart. Like the African gray parrot is highly intelligent. I don't know if you knew that one.
I've never even heard of an African gray parrot.
Google it. Google IQ of African.
Like how smart?
Probably smarter than my daughter right
now. Like they say like the average pig is smarter than a two-year-old.
I think smarter than a pig even.
The African gray parrot.
Yeah.
Didn't Coco Beware have a parrot?
Yeah, it died.
And it burnt house fire.
And it was screaming fire, fire while it was dying.
Oof. That's a tough, man.
But the
way to go.
But the African gray parrot can have the vocabulary of like a college educated person. I'm not making any of this up. You're making a face like I am, but it's true. I'm sure there's African gray parrot owners out there who could back me up on that. It's a very rare bird, a very expensive bird.
What? I'm going to conjugate some verbs.
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
Mike, why don't you challenge that play?
So, Jeff
Pickens was never down.
Jeff is now adding Arthur Smith to the group of people who are Justin Fields fans.
Well, I think Arthur Smith, the way he talked about Fields, absolutely you could infer from that the praise that he heaped on him was more than just, hey, this guy happened to play, and who knows what happens Sunday, but I'll talk about him. He spoke about him like he was speaking about his starter. You know, I'm contractually obligated once a show to say, and that brings me back to my big thesis here, Russell Wilson is nowhere near healthy enough to play in their minds.
So they don't feel like they're stepping on Wilson's toes by complimenting Fields so much.
They might not feel that way. Now, Wilson might feel a different kind of way.
I don't think that they would be smattering praise all over Fields if they thought that Wilson was going to come back and play so soon. I agree with you on that.
That's what I mean. I wonder about Wilson in his heart of hearts if he really feels like
he is scheduled to talk in about 20 minutes, and I emphasize and underline the word scheduled. We'll see what happens there.
That's Donnie's, like Lauryn Hill when she's scheduled to have a concert somewhere. It doesn't always happen.
Like in Pittsburgh where people waited for three hours.
But I think that's like a Lauryn Hill thing everywhere. I think she's like the most famous no-shower or late-shower.
Donnie has a big show after us. He'll be co-hosting with Alandon Roberts, the debut of the Alandon Roberts show at Minio's Pizza House, Allison Park. I've been up there for shows. Mulsey and I have been there. They'll take care of Donnie Gray, and I'm excited to get a new player show off the ground. We have a long tradition of great player shows here on The Fan with Ryan Clark and Ben Roethlisberger and Ramon Foster and so many. Zach Banner did great shows. Sarah must be excited because she texted me about it. Well, she didn't text me about the show, Donnie, but Sarah texted me. Did you give her my number?
Your wife probably did. She has Amanda's number.
She said, "Hi, Andrew. This is Sarah with Stand With Crypto, an organization dedicated to uniting digital currency advocates across the country and giving them a voice. There's an important election coming up in November that will shape the future of important policies and regulations related to cryptocurrency and personal banking. I was wondering if you were planning to vote."
Man, she's never posed all of that to me.
I think you should respond with one sentence. "My name is Andrew Filippone, and I stand with fracking."
I'm going to say, "Hi, Sarah. I think fracking is more important than crypto." Should I say that back?
Sure. And I think you should say,
like, how do you spell fracking? Is it
F-R-A-C-K-I-N-G?
I think fracking, how about I say in capitalize, way more important.
How about you say, little old crypto's nice, but fracking, way more important. How does the crypto community feel about fracking? Turn it back on her.
What if I say, "Hi, Sarah, I think fracking is way more important than crypto. Suck on that." No?
A little aggressive.
Malzy, by the way, Pony was not BSing us about the gray parrots.
That smart, huh?
Highly intelligent, considered to be one of the most intelligent species.
I mean, it's just weird that he comes out of the mist with stuff like that have no reason to think.
I said, "I think fracking is way more important than crypto. How do you like them apples?" Question.
I think that's a good way to respond. I don't think Sarah's going to be texting you back.
I have been inundated with these things, Malzy. Every 5 minutes I'm getting stuff like this.
Data breaches, stuff like that.
Every 5 minutes they want to know. Kamala won the debate. If we raise $1 million in the next 24 hours, Trump will be doomed. Chip in $3.
I always find those ones to be very funny. Like, from either side, it's so nakedly obvious. They're just like, "I'll tell you what, if you can get us $20 and we combine get $600,000 in the next 2 hours, this election's in the bag. What are we doing here?
Don't let this Marxist comrade become president. Vote for Trump. Make America great again."
Did they want you to send money?
Yes. Well, then there was another text about that.
I like the ones where you get them in your email and it says, "I'm not
get any emails."
The subject line says, "I'm not going to lie. Things are grim." Like, they always have like the.
What do you mean? Both sides are saying
both
grim?
Sides. Both sides will do this. But like, the tactic is, and it's usually like on lesser level races. It's not like presidential. It'll be like somebody running for state house. They'll go, "I'm not going to lie. My opponent's beating my brains in right now. I need $10 from you to help stem the tide.
Chip in $3 and that's going to stem the tide." Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. I don't know if other people are getting these nonstop, but now I am in the crypto one from Sarah.
Would you vote for a presidential candidate who vowed to end spam calls and texts?
It'd be a compelling...
be a good platform, right?
Fan Beer of the Month is Altered Genius Brewing's Rescue Kolsch, benefiting Humane Animal Rescue Pittsburgh. Mike's a good... off. Mike's is going to be happening with the baseball game down there, too, on Saturday. It'll be a mob scene. Get over to Mike's. Also, Cheerleaders having its annual backyard brawl, Elgate. Cheerleaders makes great food. I've said before, their wings and steaks, I'd put them up against anybody in the area. Tailgate was so good once upon a time that Juju in full uniform went to the tailgate before a Steelers game. Back when everybody liked Juju and wasn't complaining about logo dancing, which, by the way, he did that again. He's back to it.
Yeah.
He logo danced for the
Chiefs-Ravens.
The Chiefs-Ravens game, yep. And then went out and dropped a pass that could have been a touchdown and would have been a third down conversion at worst. So.
How's that dancing look? Did it look like the rest of his games? Pretty much way past its prime?
I don't get the TikTok dances, so I was not impressed by it at all. I don't understand the appeal of them, why people think they're so cute or so cool?
Because we're all getting systemically dumb as a society, Pony.
So the guy from the end of Billy Madison was onto something 30 years ago.
They made like a movie about this called Idiocracy, I think.
Underrated movie.
Harbinger of things to come?
Idiocracy, Donnie?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty funny movie.
Never seen it.
Oh, it's, I mean, it's just about people being like the smartest man on earth has like a sixth grade education in the movie.
Gold Lot 1A is where Cheerleaders has its tailgate for people that want to write that down. We'll get into the backyard brawl. First, some sad news. This is not hyperbole. One of the best players to ever come out of Pittsburgh and Pitt passed away. Joe Schmidt, 92 years old.
Good
Before
run.
Our time, he is considered one of probably the five best players in Lions history. All of those stats about how last year was the first time the Lions did something good since. Mm-hmm. They were those years in the late 1950s when Joe Schmidt was a linebacker there after he matriculated through Pitt. He's from Brentwood. So my condolences to the Schmidt family. But he is, because of when he played and it was so long ago, people sleep on him. He is probably among the 10 or 15 best players this area has ever produced. So
all 1950s team in the NFL, 10-time Pro Bowler when that meant something, 8-time All-Pro.
Yeah, just a sneaky two NFL great titles. Career.
Man, the guy started his career, and then until the very end, if you take out the first year and the last two, when he was obviously the last two getting up there in years.
Yep.
Essentially, you can make the argument he's one of probably the best defensive players in the NFL every year.
I'm about to do something that columnists hate, but I'm going to do it anyways because I think it's a good talking point. I saw that Joe wrote a column. I got sidetracked today. I only saw the headline. I didn't read it.
Mm-hmm.
And there are columnists that when you use a column for fodder and then don't read the column, they get very agitated and annoyed. I don't think Joe is one of those columnists, but some are very territorial and very sensitive about those things. I believe the gist of it was Pitt is either better off playing West Virginia than Penn State, or, and these are two different things, that's why I apologize for not reading it, or the backyard brawl rivalry is better.
It's the latter.
Pitt, Penn State. Okay, so it is the latter, which is the juicier take.
Backyard brawl beats Pitt, Penn State on rivalry meter.
I disagree with him. There's just something about, and you can speak to this having gone to Penn State and being a Pitt fan. You are a unicorn in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that Pitt fans get a much bigger rise in kick out of beating Penn State than they do West Virginia, and I frankly don't think it's close. I was talking to many Pitt people last Saturday. When Bowling Green was beating Penn State at the half, it did not completely take away the pain of Pitt losing at the time to Cincinnati, but it was a nice dose of like football ibuprofen to see that score for them. And I just don't think, I don't know many Pitt fans that like celebrate when West Virginia loses a game to Baylor. And that to me is like the measuring stick here. Pitt fans hate Penn. I was at the Pitt Clemson game where Pickett went off with Craig a few years ago. And when Penn State lost that 9 overtime game or whatever it was to Illinois that day, like 50,000 people got up out of their seats and did the worm together. It was incredible. I just don't think that hatred exists for West Virginia, Chris.
I tend to find myself rooting for West Virginia if they have a chance to pull an upset on somebody or, regardless, like whoever they're playing, if it's not Pitt, I have like generally a soft spot for them. Whenever Pitt plays them, I want Pitt to destroy them in every sport. But like the basketball team, when they went on the run with Deshaun Butler, I would root for them. The football team, if they were playing Colorado tomorrow, I would hope Neil Brown hangs 70 on them. If they were playing Baylor, I would hope the same thing.
Is this your way of making my point?
Well, yeah, I agree with you because I would like to see Beaver Stadium swallowed into the earth when they're playing. With no casualties, of course.
Yes, everyone crawls out of there.
Everyone crawls out of the rubble and vows never to go to a Penn State game again. But that's my feeling on each school. Like, there aren't enough bad things that could happen to the Penn State football program. Generally speaking, I wouldn't call West Virginia a frenemy because I genuinely do want to see Pitt destroy them. And I've never been.
I'm kind of getting frenemy vibes here.
Well,
I've
never been to Morgantown and been like harassed or anything by a drunken West Virginia fan, which might change my mind. But it feels closer to a frenemy situation. Penn State's just the end.
I was inundated with Pitt fans saying when I was down there for the first game, I hope West Virginia beats Penn State and embarrasses them.
Oh, I was rooting hard for West Virginia in that game.
Donnie, you want to put your two cents in on this?
Yeah, I think you guys are definitely on to something, and you can just get the pulse of other Pitt fans, and I think the Penn State-West Virginia game, as you guys were just talking about, was a perfect example. How many Pitt fans do you know were actually rooting for Penn State? I feel like it was very heavily, oh man, I hate both teams, but I hope West Virginia wins.
Chris's hate, it sounds like, is a 5 towards West Virginia and a 10 out of 10 for Penn State.
Right. I mean,
that's what I think I'm hearing.
It doesn't even exist for Penn State. They don't even try to make me put a number on it because they haven't invented a number that high yet.
It clearly looks like that hate is a lot stronger.
I think of Doran's statement where he would want to take over Penn State in dynasty mode or wherever just to run the school into the ground in a video game.
That's
a great line. That's how I feel.
I also wonder, do you think it has anything to do with West Virginia actually appreciates and recognizes and respects the rivalry they have with Pitt, whereas Penn State is one of those schools where they kind of just look down upon Pitt. Oh, they're not a rival.
Well, the second part of what you said absolutely is a big reason why Pitt fans hate Penn State and want that rivalry more, because they feel like they're mistreated or they feel like they are cast aside by the Penn State fan, and anytime they beat them,
I suspect I'll have Penn State fans filling up my mentions soon enough saying, we actually have like a form. This is why Penn State can't play Pitt. It gets distributed every year. Here are this year's reasons why it would be much more beneficial for Penn State to not play Pitt. And it is very annoying. You'd think these people went to an Ivy League and not a state school the way that they put themselves on a pedestal.